Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Caroline, you should tell them about the newest thing that Bloody Happy Hour is doing.
A Patreon.
It's a Patreon. What is that?
That means you're basically like a VIP member, and there's two different levels that you can, you know, subscribe to, and you get some perks. You maybe get like merch a little earlier. You get
exclusive merch.
You could get first dibs on signing up for a live show. You get episodes with no commercials.
You get our video because our video is no longer available on YouTube. It is only on Patreon. And the most important to me is you get videos of our live shows. So if you are far away and you couldn't make our last live show, it will be on the website. We're going to record this future live show. It's going to be on Patreon, but also bonus episodes each month. You guys tell us all the time you want more episodes. This is a way for you to get more episodes. So you're going to get our basic Tuesday, Thursdays that we always put out, right? But if you're on a Patreon, you're VIP, you're going to get more.
I can't wait to talk about in detail some more stories because I always have a lot of details I want to go to. I can law-splain. I might read a book.
They just unsubscribed. This is also going to be the exclusive place that Dirty Chat is going to go to. So if that is breaking some of your hearts, just go ahead and subscribe now. In order to hear the full content, it's going to be Patreon. Where do they go again?
Patreon.com/bloodyhappyhour.
Don't forget to
stay aware,
stay alive,
and always be DTF.
Hey y'all, I'm April.
And I'm Caroline.
And this is your Bloody Happy Hour. Caroline, are you ready for this?
This is your newest guilty pleasure.
It's the bloodiest part of your week.
Did we say something about it also being happy hour?
Show did.
Because we're about to be sipping on some murder. Bloody happy hour.
Hey y'all, this is April.
And this is Caroline.
Well, you know, what's the show called?
I think it's called Bloody Happy Hour.
Well, this is it. That's our show.
This is it. It's time to get bloody during this hour of happiness.
Yes.
In case you have been living under a rock, O.J. Simpson is officially dead and gone. He gone. He gonna find out who done did it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So.
Meat is maker. And Gypsy Rose's husband came to social media and said everything is fine.
Oh, good. That, I was so worried.
You know, that they're, he doesn't want to give too many details because it was all videoed up close and personal.
Like whenever
and their
he
documentary.
Brought the, like when he brought when the camera crew to the prison when she was getting released.
All getting,
wow.
We'll be able to see it in June.
This couldn't have been
on Netflix.
Some kind of like money grab.
No.
Well, we have a story today that I was going to do a while back, but didn't because I needed more information. And we've got more information, so now I'm doing it.
Let's do it. Where are we going?
We're going to Utah, but it's not that. It's just like the edge of Utah. It's like Utah, Nevada.
It's still Utah.
I know.
It's still Utah.
And this happened in May 2022.
Oh, that was the other
Literally
day.
The other day. Yeah.
I remember, you told me the name. I remember the name, but I have no idea what it was.
This is the story of Dylan Rounds.
I know, but what'd he do? Is he a shooter?
No. But that probably.
Is there somebody named Dylan that was
yes,
a shooter?
Yes, Columbine.
No.
Yeah. Google that shit.
Eric Harris was Columbine.
And who was the other one? Dylan Round? Harris. I don't know.
Eric and Dylan, probably. Okay.
Now I gotta know. So just Google it.
You're gonna hear, y'all have heard Caroline's story multiple weeks in a row. Shout out to Caroline. She is helping a sister
just,
out.
Just be helping out. That's yes. what we be doing.
My life is a little upside down right now, and I can't come up with stories. And so you are just being blessed with a double Caroline story. And hopefully I'll get my life together soon.
I mean, you know what? I'll just keep them coming. I'll just keep them coming. It's great. Oh, I did write the same thing twice. As you find out that
Dylan Keybold.
Yes.
What?
I got the weirdest memory. Look, man, I do not have much of a memory at all, actually. But I don't even really remember names. I just remember names of
killers.
So that's good. There you go.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Blair.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're the host of
By the Cover Podcast.
We cover everything from mysteries, thrillers, romance, chick lit, and even some smut.
Don't forget the smut.
Yeah.
We're so excited to get this thing going and share this with you guys. We've been talking about this for months, and it's finally, finally happening.
Yes.
Special shout out to Rogue Media for helping us with this.
For sure. You can find us on Instagram at @ByTheCover_podcast.
You can also find us on Facebook and TikTok, so don't forget to give us a follow on those two also.
We are so excited to dive into some of our favorite books and share those with you.
We can't wait. Hope you love it.
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
Hold up.
Utah.
May 2022, 19-year-old farmer in Utah went missing. There was bizarre evidence. Maybe there was some suggestions of foul play. We were kind of like, you didn't know what was happening. And then he's in Utah. His family doesn't live there. So they race to go figure out what happened to him. And this story goes on. He ends up, it's like a disappearance, and it's going on and on and on for until like literally this week. And then we find out more information. So this is who we are. Dylan Rounds, born August 1st, 2002.
So he was 20 at the time.
Yes. Okay. 20. Born in Idaho. That's it.
I know. Destined for
Candace is his mama. Justin is his daddy. He was the oldest of three when he was about 4 or 5 years old. Parents divorced. The kids were then going back and forth between Twin Falls, Idaho, and Idaho Falls, whatever, with his dad. Basically, it's like 2.5 hours. They would go back and forth every now and then, whatever. His family says like he was such a hardworking kid. He's passionate, strong-headed, and his dream was to own his own farm. And it's just like he was fascinated by farming equipment, and he spent tons and tons of time outside on tractors. And they said, his parents said, they were like, he would grow pumpkins and sweet corn, and he would sell it on the side of the road in his hometown.
Love him.
And they were like, he was somewhat of a farming prodigy.
Yeah, he was a little homestead heritage kid.
Yes. And so they were like, he was always like tinkering and messing with tractors and all this kinds of stuff when he was young. And the mom was like, he was born to be a farmer, and he could drive a tractor before most kids were riding their bikes.
Oh, sounds like my friend's son.
Well, maybe.
So far.
Okay. So mom was basically like, he was an old soul. He wasn't like interested in video games and doing those things. He just kind of, she always said he was born in the wrong generation, because he just wanted to work and wanted to have a business and wanted to be successful. So
yeah, my friend's son got like a lawnmower thing for Christmas.
Yeah, that's just like business minded or
fourth
something.
Grade. Like he loves, oh, that's but so that's what he
cute.
Wanted.
Oh my!
So they gosh. He would be friends with Dylan Rounds.
I know he would. Well, Dylan attended Rigby High School in Rigby, Idaho. He was super focused on his future farming career. Here we go. By the age of 17, it was 2019, and he was also really close with his grandparents. And his grandparents helped him buy a large plot of land in Lucen, Utah. And this is at the very, very border of Utah and Nevada.
Okay.
So this area, Lucen, is referred to as a railroad community, settled as a pit stop for train lines to replenish their fuel. It is in the middle of nowhere.
Nowhere.
It's desert, sandy desert. If you want to live off the grid, you live there. And I think the population was 4.
Yuck.
Like the there's nearby, like they had there was no gas station, no grocery store, no restaurant, no post office, nothing. So to get to the closest place, it said apparently this place had been abandoned in the 1930s. And there was only a handful of residents left. One was including Dylan. You had to go to the next town over to get
do anything.
And in the next town, in this farming season, because he's doing farming, and I guess there's like certain times that's farming season, not farming season. You got to seed your things at some point. You got to not whatever. I'm not a farmer. I don't know this stuff. But he was wanting to take this position where he would like contract at other farms during his off season, but during his on season, he would be at his Lucen, Utah his own little farm, population of four.
Okay.
Okay, so he'd be there, and then he'd contract other places. Okay.
How old is he now? He's still like seven years old. Yeah, and like contracting farmers.
I think he left high school early to go do this.
To be FFA.
Yep. So May, 2022.
20 years old now.
Yes, and he is. Just contracted at this land at whatever, wherever he was contracting to be a farmer at somewhere. He goes back to his property in Lucerne. Okay. So he doesn't have a house. He has a trailer. He's like, eventually I want to build a house, but right now I have like a camper kind of trailer type of thing. And he lives alone with the three neighbors he has that are who knows where. So a couple days after he gets back, he calls his mom and he was like, oh, you know, just there's this strange man that I ran into. I was driving the truck and he approached me asking for a ride. And he was like, he just came out of nowhere. He was dirty. He was bloody. He was scratched up. And Dylan told his mom, he's like, I didn't feel comfortable picking him up and I did not give him a ride anywhere, whatever. So okay. He continued on, went to his property. And so the last day, let's see, we're still in May. So this is Thursday, May 26th. And Dylan talked to his parents and mom said that he was getting really excited because he was about to do his first crop of the year. Oh. And dad was like talking to him about different types of tractors and just all kinds of farming stuff. So he talked to them both on this Thursday and everything seemed like totally fine, normal, whatever. And there's a town in Nevada, Montello, Nevada, which is the one that's really close. So it's like 30-minute drive, and that's where there's like two bars and a gas station and a grocery store or something, like two restaurants, whatever.
Gosh.
So you got to drive 30 minutes just to get there. So he was seen in this county or this town in Nevada the same day that he had talked to his parents. Okay, so this is on a Thursday. So he's seen there. This town is not much bigger, but okay. It has about 35 people.
Oh.
Okay. He went into the Saddle Store Bar and Grill, and he went there for dinner, and he then went to Cowboy Bar and Cafe.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's no black. None of those 35 people are black.
Nope. And that was the last time anybody, like, saw him out in public. Okay. So a couple of days later, it's Saturday, May 28th, and it's around 6:51 a.m. And Dylan had briefly spoke with his grandmother. Like I said, he's almost closer with his grandparents than his parents. So he's talking to grandma on the phone. He's like, oh, it's starting to rain. I need to pull my grain truck into the shed.
I love
so
him.
Apparently, if you got these seeds you're going to plant, the seeds cannot get wet. If they get wet, they get ruined. So he has to pull this truck with all these seeds in it, grain truck, and to a covered area. Well, he doesn't have a covered area because he only has the trailer. So he had recently, as however long he's been there, he had met this guy who had a shed he was like, hey, if it ever rains, do you mind if I park my grain truck in here so it protects the grain so it doesn't ruin my whole seed crop situation? And dude's like, yeah, no problem. So talking to grandma, he's like, oh, grandma, it's about to start raining. I got to go and drive the truck over to the shed. And it's not far. It's like a 5-mile drive.
Whatever. Okay.
Not too far. So the shed is off of his property. Apparently important to note that. So mom calls right around the same time, just checking in. He's like, oh, can't really talk right now. I'm trying to get my grain in because I don't want my seeds to get wet. I don't want to ruin my crop season, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. Don't want it to spoil. That's the last time he spoke to anyone. Okay. So typically during like a week, he would talk to his parents a couple times, not daily. After he talked to his grandma, whenever she called and he was going to go take his grain truck to the shed, he said he would call her back. Now, typically for him, he would always call grandma all the time. They'd be talking all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So grandma thought it was weird. She's like, well, he didn't call me back, and he always calls me back. And so she thought it was more weird that she didn't call back. Now, she still lives over with where the parents live, and I don't know why they're closer, but they're just all closer. Okay. So he also has a friend named Justin, and Justin had not heard from him in a couple of days either.
Oh, man.
So they're like, okay, we know that he's just getting ready for his first crop, so we don't want to jump into the, we don't want to jump to conclusions. But when the next day comes around, Sunday passes, nobody hears from him. They've repeated calls, repeated texts, everything goes unanswered. Now they're like alarmed. So they, grandma knew some people who lived pretty close to Lucen, his, where his property was, and asked if they would stop by, go check on him. They went, stopped by. They're like, there's nothing. There's no sign of him. We don't see him.
Is his trailer there?
Well, yes, his trailer's okay. There. So then finally, the very next day, they all drive down, the whole family. This is on Monday, May 30th.
No.
So it's just 2 days after he was last heard from. So they drive down, and when they got there, they said that the farm looked as like he had vanished in the middle of the workday. His truck was parked out in front, and his camper was unlocked. It was empty. There's no sign of his car keys or his phone.
Wow. But his truck was there, but his car keys, but he didn't.
But because I think he must have, because it's another grain car. Truck was the had to have been like a different
something
truck.
Different. Okay.
Right. His like pickup truck that he drove to town, and then his
probably like a dump truck type
dump
thing.
Truck with seeds in it.
Okay.
So his real truck is there, but his grain truck is not there. Okay. Because it's under the shed where he parked it. Right. So they finally call the police, and they file a missing persons report and do all the things. Everybody starts searching. Police start asking mom questions. Is it possible he's running away? She's like, absolutely not. Like, this is his dream. He's been doing this since he's like zero. And like, no, he would not just leave this. Like, was he dating anybody? No. Was there any type of love triangle? No.
There was this weird guy, homeless guy.
Mom said he's like, he seemed to be content, just happy with his life. She's like, he had no, this was his dream. Nothing. He was going to be farming and living his life. No drug abuse, no substance abuse, no mental issue, no depression, no suicidal thoughts, nothing. Everybody loved him.
You know why? Because he lived off the land.
Dylan.
And he didn't have technology and cell phones.
Exactly.
And he didn't do all those things that depress you and make it all worse.
Mm-hmm.
There's the answer.
His bank account was untouched. His cell phone activity was non-existent. And that made it seem a little bit more sus. And the last time that his phone had pinged was about 9 hours after he had hung up with grandma. Okay, that's important. Mm-hmm. So within about an hour and a half after they started their search, they found a pair of his boots discarded behind a dirt pile near the shed.
The shed where his grain was. So where's the man that owns the land?
Law enforcement are like, okay, we think these boots have been here for like 48 to 72 hours.
Oh, how can you tell that?
They're law enforcement, April. They know everything, okay? So, from where his grain truck is parked and where his boots were found, this is about 100 yards away. And they seem to have been just casually tossed out. Okay, this is what they said. So, the boots were found near the shed where Dylan parked his truck, his grain truck. Based on his family, they kind of came up there like, okay, they were trying to think of like, okay, what could have happened? Like, what do we think has happened? So they're like, maybe he drove his grain truck into the shed, which was about 5 miles from his camper where he lived, which is not very close. And then he's like walking back to the camper on foot.
No.
And then they're like, well, why would you do that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But did he have a ride? Like, who? How was he going to get back to his camper? Maybe he was just going to sit in the grain truck and wait for the rain to stop? I mean,
5 miles, 5 minute ride, 15, 30 minute walk.
For 5 miles, it would take.
I mean, he could walk it back.
Like,
an hour.
You can do 3 miles in an hour. So you should be able to walk a mile in 15 minutes. Do the math.
Yeah. So 15 times.
30, 45, 1 hour, 15, hour and a half. Look at that. Okay. I'd be using my
feet. That is a long walk.
Okay.
In boots.
So they're
maybe
like.
Maybe he's a runner and it only take him 45 minutes.
Maybe he's a runner. He's a track star. Okay, but when they found the boot, they're like, okay, this does not seem accurate. So it makes no sense why you're going to walk without those boots. And he was very, very, very particular about his boots. So these boots, it's like boot gate. Like it's okay. A whole thing. So he basically had one pair of boots. He would wear them until they were, like, falling apart. Then he would go out and buy the exact same pair of boots. Wear them until they fall apart. Exact same boots. Wear them until they fall apart. Like, that's...
Wow.
So it was a big deal and a big, huge clue that he wouldn't just discard of his only pair of boots, especially because he would most likely wear them in the rain until they fell off. You know, like if he was walking... Okay. And it was always the same particular brand, like the same exact boot. Okay. I hope they don't ever discontinue those boots. So police start looking at the boots closely and they find blood on the boots and they sent the blood. They sent the boots in the lab, tested it, all the stuff. And then they were taken in for evidence. Parents were told they were going to be tested. Parents asked about, okay, what's the result from the boots that were tested? And then the police are like, well, actually, we're going to hold off on testing them because we need it for the cadaver dogs so they can use it for a scent.
Okay.
And the mom was like, I don't understand. If it rained, like, the scent would be rained off of the boots if there's, like, that is... So she's questioning the police.
Okay.
And they're obviously, you're in this tiny town of four... You know, they probably have never done a thing ever in their life. So she's kind of critical of that. And she kind of starts trying to figure things out and trying to look into stuff. And she thought that was ridiculous and did not understand why they would not test the boots. But they finally, more people get to the farm, more law enforcement, more search and rescue. They're like stepping up the search and they... Because of the area, okay, they... Oh, yeah. Now the people are coming and trying to search and look for things, but they have not secured the area. Stuff, people are walking around everywhere. Things are getting contaminated. Like, they don't... These police...
What about the damn pile of dirt?
I know. They're...
They haven't done anything with it. They didn't just...
They're looking in mine shafts and caves. They're looking...
But not the pile of dirt that's right there by the boots.
Well, because I guess
the landowners said no.
Maybe. So then at this point, mom is like, okay, let me think. Oh, I do remember him on the phone with me one day talking about this bloodied up guy asking for a ride. And they're like, oh, that's helpful to know. This is probably like within a day or two that she remembered this. And so... They're like, okay, well, maybe there's a hitchhiker that came after him and whatever.
But didn't take anything? No.
We don't know. So, dad. Oh, okay. So then dad, he also remembers something. And it was at the first time that he ever visited Dylan in that city, Lucien, whatever it's called. A neighbor had been irritated at Dylan for a small accident, and the accident was apparently Dylan had backed his truck up into the gate of somebody's farm.
Okay.
Okay.
Minor,
whatever. So it was like a horse gate or whatever. And this dad remembers that the neighbor was frustrated and had come over to complain about it. Okay. So this is all going to wrap up here. The neighbor's name is James Brenner. Okay. That's the neighbor. He had already had some run-ins with police back in 2012. He had been sentenced to almost 3 years in prison for felony firearms charge. This is not the first time he'd been convicted.
Oh,
he's
shoot.
Labeled as a dangerous, and he had served time for attempted murder. And once he beat up a man with a lawn chair.
But this isn't the same neighbor that he's parked his truck on the property.
This
a different neighbor, right?
No.
Okay. The same neighbor?
Kind of.
Oh, shit.
You'll find out. Okay, so. Outside of the, well, first of all, I'm like, this guy, he's the only person I know that beat somebody up with a lawn chair is that brawl in Alabama. But
yeah,
who's to say? So beyond that, like there was no other issues between him and this dude. Okay. Except that he did have like this violent temper. So turns out police discover that there's this trailer that is in this within this property. Next to it is this shed where a grain truck can be parked.
Mm-hmm.
But it has this horse gate around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this trailer where this James Brenner guy is living, he doesn't even own this property. He is a squatter. And, you know, nowadays, squatters be squatting, and you can just be squatting in any vacant house and live there, and it's your house.
Wow.
Except from Florida, because they changed that. But anyways, we'll go. I digress. So they find out it's not even his property, and they're like, why are you getting so pissed about this guy hitting your fence? It's not even yours. And so then they're like, this is all so, everything's so strange. Like, what's happening? And it's not like even it was a big accident, and like it's not your property. You're literally just squatting there. Like, what is happening? So, about a month later, June 16th, 2022, I guess this is James's trailer now. I guess this is his trailer because he's just been there for so long. And I don't know where the owner is. I don't know where the property owner is.
I'm sure
he just owns this, and he's like, he probably didn't even know.
Maybe it was Warren Jeff's.
Maybe. He probably didn't even
know he was in prison, and he just never.
That's true. He might not even know this guy's living in this property. Apparently, that's what a squatter is. You don't really know they're there. So they go, they search the property. They don't find a gun, but they find like bullets and gun paraphernalia. They ammunition, a muzzle loader, rifle, blah 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 blah. Then they search again for the second time because now everybody's getting suspicious and they're like, okay, mom's making a big deal about it. They're like, there's got to be something. They search it again. This time they do find a gun.
In this
uh-huh. trailer. Mm-hmm. In this trailer, which is by this shed where the grain truck is parked. Where the boots
Who's
were found.
Searching? Mama searching now? Who's
no, here? She just was like posting on social media and she's just like, putting stuff out there like because she doesn't think the police are doing shit and she's
like they're probably not
she's like y'all searched it but did you really search it like maybe try to search it like maybe do a more thorough search and they eventually they find that there is a gun but they could not pin it on him yet because but they were able to arrest him on possession of a firearm because since he is a felon convicted felon or had been arrested he's not allowed to have a firearm. So they're like, okay, maybe we think that he did it, but we at least can get him. We can at least get him on this. We can't arrest him on murder.
On a murder yet.
Right.
Okay.
So on that same day that they found the gun, they found a lot more other stuff as well. I don't know if he just hid all of it or whatever. So then it was, I think, later that day, the next day, they came across even more evidence, and it was the discovery of Dylan's phone.
In the...
Just, I just know it was a discovery of the phone.
Okay.
On that same day. So it was around that property near the trailer.
Mm.
So, oh, Caroline, keep reading. It was discovered in a nearby pond. And listen.
Oh, shit.
So it threw it in a pond. It's like I knew this like a long, like it's so long ago.
Yeah.
But so July of 2022. James Brenner was officially announced as the only suspect in this disappearance of Dylan Rounds. Meanwhile, the family's still looking for him, like remains or like what's happening. Well, it turns out that on this phone, they ended up getting like probable cause. Now they have arrested him for the murder of Dylan. And it's because of what they found on the phone. The phone had somehow began recording posthumously. Posthumous.
Yeah.
That means after
post-mortem.
Death.
Postmortem. I wonder.
And yeah. It showed James Brenner wearing a blood-soaked t-shirt.
Oh, video recording.
Yes, his phone. Yeah, he had the phone. The phone started recording. Yeah, video.
He knew what he was doing.
I don't know. Why Dylan. Would you? It would.
Maybe he was about to record a video for his grandma.
Apparently it had recorded. It was like a 30 minute long thing. So he probably, I don't know.
Wow.
So they see the James guy. He's wearing a blood soaked shirt. He's cleaning a gun. Video's on the phone. And they're like, how did this start recording? And the mom was saying, like, maybe it was, like, he took the phone out and he hit the wrong button, swiped something wrong. They don't have any clue how it started recording. So the time lapse was taken just 30 minutes after Dylan had spoken on the phone with his grandma. Aww. So it was, like, that quick. So everything that happened within, like, 32 minutes. And, they still did not know what happened to him or where he was. So they have the guy in custody. This is what I wanted to.
They have blood. They have video. Yes. They have.
Yes.
But they don't know where he is.
Yes.
And can you convict without a body?
I don't know. In some states, well, Harmony Montgomery, Adam Montgomery was convicted and they still don't have her body.
Okay.
That's his daughter. So I guess in some states you can't.
Do we have a murder weapon? No. Because we don't know how he died.
We don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, that's a hard case.
So there were some other connections to him on the phone. Washing the blood off of himself, blood-soaked shirt, and blah, blah, blah. That's all we had, and they weren't letting anything else out.
And this is when, because they found all that real quick, and then it was done.
Yes, this was in like May, June, July, 2022.
Okay,
that's whenever they find the phone. They get the guy there, and then it's like nothing, like crickets, because the parents are like, "Well, what do we do now?" Like, obviously, like. Is there DNA? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that's going around. Like, was there some kind of a relationship, a jealous thing? Like, what happened? Was there?
Yeah, whatever? I need answers.
I know. So, turns out that we just found out, like, 2 seconds ago. Let me read this one part.
Was he the homeless guy, too? Was he the homeless guy and then went and squatted?
Well, yeah, he was a homeless guy and went and squatted.
Well, but is he the one that Dylan saw, I wonder?
Oh.
Like, could that be the same person?
Yeah. So, what they did was, I'm trying to, let me tell you what he's charged. He was charged with aggravated murder. James, so he was charged. When he got arrested, was charged, but they just didn't have the body, right? Mm-hmm. Charged with aggravated murder and abuse or desecration of a human body in connection with Dylan's death. And he agreed to a plea deal.
Oh, shit.
With police. To lead them to his remains.
And usually when they do that, they get the okay from the family.
Yes. I would. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, he led authorities to the location of Dylan's burial site.
And it was in that fucking pile that they should have.
On Tuesday, April the 9th.
Yesterday. What's today?
I don't know, but it was
Monday.
It was literally like the other
day. Today's the 13th. Wow.
Yes.
And where was it?
Family members were told around 11 a.m. that his body had been found. And we just know it's in a small burial site, and it was found around 11 a.m. Our family members were told at 11 a.m. Now, what we don't know is, we don't know. Oh, that's the thing. What happened? Or maybe the police know. We don't know the deal that they made. We don't know the cause of death, because what's coming out in reports is that they're saying, it could possible, like it's possible remains, but it, I'm like,
it's him.
It's definitely his remains.
They have to say possible until they do the.
Yeah. But what's funny is that they said they're going to do,
DNA,
the teeth matching. I thought they said that didn't. I guess it doesn't match if you're bitten someone.
They can't use that to convict.
They can just use that to identify.
They're using bite mark. They were using bite marks to convict killers, and that is a sketchy science. But your tooth is your tooth. There's no way to. That's not sketchy science.
He was recovered in the remote western Box Elder County area of Lucen. Whatever the hell that means. This guy was 60-year-old James Brenner, who was just squatting in a trailer next to the property where he lived. And he was charged in 2023 with the murder and the abuse, but they never had his. But I guess they finally. I don't know. We don't know how they convinced him to talk or what kind of a deal. What the deal was? Maybe it's. I don't know if they have the death. Wait, are they Idaho or Utah? I guess it'd be Utah.
Is Utah? Yeah, have Utah.
Utah has, I know Idaho has death penalty. Does Utah have death penalty? Either way, even if it does, maybe it was like they take the death penalty off the table and he's life in prison. Like, great. Great.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it said that they actually knew each other and that he would bail hay for Dylan.
Well, then that couldn't have been that same guy, the hitchhiker guy. DNA analysis confirmed that it was his boots. Because they tracked down that his phone, the last signal was around the pond. So that's why they searched the pond. And.
So there's going to be more to come with that.
Yeah, there's going to be more because it's like we just found out about the Brenner guy a year ago and they didn't. And then it was like silent, complete silence. And then. But whenever it came out this week that they found the remains and they were led to the remains by this guy, hopefully we will get more info and figure out what happened. But at least, like, that's kind of like, I mean, that's your closure in a way.
Shit. Yeah. Almost. Maybe. And I guess for some, because we've had this conversation, like, I would still need to know why. And then how? At least I got his body. And I can have the closure and bury him. But I need to know why and how. Like, what was your function behind your behavior?
Yeah.
And that, to me, should have been part of the plea deal.
Like, it could have been.
Give me, and they just haven't reported it. But what are you waiting on reporting that for?
I don't know.
I guess to confirm that it's actually Dylan's body.
There you go.
I'll ask a question and then answer it.
Yep, 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 yep. That's right. That's got to be exactly right.
So they get to have a funeral.
So at least, yeah, at least they are like, he's not out there somewhere. But like, man, like out of, you're in the middle of nowhere. And I think it's, I feel like there's going to be some kind of sex something happening.
Because it's Utah.
I just have a bad feeling. Because like, he was never interested in dating. But he could have just been like a asymmetrical or whatever.
Asexual.
It was very asymmetrical.
But even if that's it, and Lil Brenner was ashamed of it, he's not going to say that. He's going to turn it around and say, Dylan made a pass at him. Like, we're probably, even
but
if he does.
These people, they're not even, I mean.
Dylan's a cutie. Ooh.
I know. He looks.
Dylan is a cutie, but that old man.
Yeah. That old man probably wanted to get him, tried to attack him. He was probably plotting, right, and he probably just, Dylan probably fought back.
He was 61 years old.
Yeah. Dylan was like, what,
19.
20, 22, 19?
I don't know math, yeah.
I don't either, but that guy's, like, gross looking. Like, he looks like the Unabomber. And he's a squatter. So
His
remains were found, and we will just have to wait to see what.
If that all comes out. But they can't leave it here. Like, they can't just say, okay, done, close case.
Can they?
No, they got to give us the reason.
Well, yeah, but will they?
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to have to go up to Utah. Hell, y'all, I'm never going to Utah.
The most rural part of Utah. I love Dylan. I love his heart. I love that his passion is nothing like any of the passion of these crazy teenagers now. He didn't want to have anything to do with the craziness. And then he just got taken advantage of for being his special him. He just didn't want his grain to get wet.
He just didn't want his grain to get wet. And he was so responsible. He was taking it into the shed. He already, I guess, talked to that guy a year ago when he got there. Or maybe he talked to... No, I don't... We don't know.
Okay. Well, hopefully there's a follow-up on that story and you'll know. We'll know a little bit more what happened. It's so sad. But you know what? I was thinking they waited. They didn't hear from him one day, and then they didn't hear from him on Sunday, and they waited the next day to go down there. So they went down there on that Monday instead of like that Sunday. So I would have been like, I should have went down on Sunday. What if I could have prevented it or saved him? Or he was dead within 30 minutes of him getting off the phone with Granny.
Terrible.
That would probably make me feel a little bit better, I guess. Horrible, horrible. Okay.
Horrible, horrible. Poor.
That was a good one.
Dylan. I'm glad that he's maybe at least got a little bit of.
Well, I'm glad Dylan wasn't the killer because I did like him. And that's a little bit of a suspect of a name, Dylan Rounds. He sounds like he would be a shooter. Dylan Rounds sounds like a shooter.
It sounds like a normal name. You're thinking rounds of like bullet rounds.
Yes,
and
sounds like a school shooter.
You're thinking of Dylan, who we just looked up to.
Yes, you know, I guess Columbine. So.
But Dylan,
what's the little kid in that shot up the church?
Well, which damn church? I don't know. Everybody's shooting up everything
in
nowadays.
South Carolina.
I don't even know about that.
The little boy looks like a little fetal alcohol.
Shot up a church. Oh, the racist one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know.
I thought that was Dylan Rounds.
Whatever happened to this kid?
And they offered him a Whataburger on the way to the.
Well, they do that shit to us to keep you talking. I guess.
He was a little fetal alcoholic kid. That's who I thought was Dylan Rounds this whole time.
Oh, no.
I was waiting for Dylan Rounds to go crazy.
Who was it?
What's that kid's name? South Carolina church shooter.
Is it Dylan Rounds?
Dylan Roof.
What?
That's what I was thinking of the whole time.
R-O-O-F?
Yes, his name is Dylan Roof.
I don't remember ever hearing about this.
My principal's daughter plays softball for that college, and she goes and visits.
Okay, don't name your church. Kid Dylan, because they're going to be some kind of a shooter or they're going to get murdered.
Yeah.
So.
Look. He's scary looking.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him to be a shooter.
Whatever happened to him? Is he in jail?
I would hope.
Did he just say guilty and leave and get sentenced? Because, you know,
death.
Nicholas.
9 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole, plus 95 years. Charleston, South Carolina.
Is he going to be put to death?
No.
Just life in jail.
Wait, it says federal death, South Carolina. I don't know. Can you be tried 2 different things? Let's just cover the story. No.
I don't feel like talking about him.
No. Neo-Nazism, white supremacy, far-right extremism, anti-black.
He's all the things.
But anyways, my principal goes down there and she is going to send me a picture of the church, like in front of the church. Because it's like this one downtown.
Yeah, that's the kid who just walked in and just started shooting.
Okay, well, I'm glad Dylan Rounds wasn't...
Dylan Rounds was not Dylan Roof, because I don't even want to look at that kid, much less talk about him.
Mm. He just had a birthday.
They all FLKs, those shooters. They're looking funny.
FLKs?
Funny looking kids.
Oh. All right, y'all. We'll see y'all next week on a whole new week of Bloody Happy Hour. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't forget to
stay aware,
stay alive,
and always be DTF.
Goodbye, y'all.
Bye.